Tremont Williams left New Orleans without a contract offer from the Saints. But if the Packers are looking for other options at cornerback, perhaps they pursue other possibilities in the NFL draft. We'll have an interview with Eric Galco of Optimum Scouting coming up on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about both free agency and the NFL draft. We have an interview with Eric Galco of OptimumScouting.com coming up. But first, let's get to
Packers news of the day.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers here on a Friday, the big news over the course of the last 24 hours or so, basically since our last episode of Railbird Central, Packers cornerback, I guess technically we are talking about a former Packers cornerback for the time being. He is no longer under contract. Free agent cornerback Tremont Williams has left New Orleans without a contract offer from the Saints. Where exactly this leaves Williams is up for debate. Free agent opportunities are drying up across the NFL. There were all sorts of teams that reportedly expressed interest in Williams. In fact, before even the start of free agency, there was the big article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Bob McGinn saying how the Seattle Seahawks were going to pursue him. And you connected the dots between John Schneider and Tremont Williams. And you thought, oh, that has a... that could very well happen, especially seeing as they're probably going to lose Byron Maxwell in free agency. And they did, but the Seattle Seahawks ended up signing Kerry Williams. They actually signed another former Packer, albeit not Tremont Williams. They signed Will Blackman to a much cheaper a deal, and perhaps Blackman not expected to be a starter there in Seattle, but provide depth. Regardless, Seattle doesn't pursue Tremont Williams. There were reports that the Philadelphia Eagles would, but they go end up in signing Maxwell. Kind of took some of their budget away, and some of it, of course, they saved yesterday to sign DeMarco Williams, one of the top free agent running backs on the market. And then the Saints were interested, but they go and sign the former Patriots cornerback, Brandon Browner. So you can see as the point I'm trying to make here, all these opportunities drying up for Tremont Williams. You wonder if perhaps the Packers are the only opportunity that's left open to him. The Packers, the same article I referenced before, Packers reportedly offered Williams a 2-year deal worth $8 million, so an average of $4 million a year. We really don't know whether that offer is still on the table or not. Obviously, you know, Williams wants as much money and as much security as possible, but you have to wonder if the Packers said, you know, hey, this is a one-time opportunity. If you decline this, you're not going to get this offer from us again. And perhaps Tremont Williams, while it's important to have confidence in yourself, I don't know, maybe he's a little naive in terms of how much he is worth or how much he can command. You know, I don't know if he's, well, obviously he's probably not worth in the range of $5 to $6 million a year because there's nobody out there willing him to give that. And, you know, I don't know if there's anybody out there willing to give him a contract worth more than two seasons. There was a very good tweet I shared it on social media yesterday on Twitter myself from Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com, our regular guest here, our weekly guest on Railbird Central during the NFL season. We give him a break in the offseason. But he noted there is not a single cornerback on an NFL roster currently over 31 years old. And Tremont Williams is going to turn 32 years old on Monday. Just kind of coincidence, but you can now understand why the Packers and pretty much anybody in the NFL isn't willing to, you know, commit a ton of money into an aging cornerback. They, you know, you start getting over 30 years old and that, you know, that speed starts really declining. And maybe you've started to see that with Tremont Williams already. I thought he did very well last year. He wasn't not great, but I thought Tremont Williams did well. Certainly very much worthy of being a starter in the NFL, a very competitive guy. And, you know, speed isn't everything at the cornerback position. You can make up for speed by doing other things, by being very physical, by having very good instincts. And I think Tremont Williams does have those kind of things. But, I mean, it isn't as if, you know, speed is this kind of negligible commodity. You do need that at the cornerback position. I think Tremont Williams still has enough. I've said this before. I think Tremont Williams has, you know, the ability to play 1 or 2 years at a still fairly high level in the NFL. I just don't know if it's 3 or 4. In fact, I'm pretty darn sure of myself to say it's not 3 or 4. So, I mean, if I'm the Packers, I don't mind bringing Tremont Williams back. Again, you know, they threw out this offer of 2 years, $8 million. Packers still apparently have about $21 million or so left under the salary cap. Now that you factor in all the recent deals, not just Randall Cobb and Brian Bulaga, but the smaller ones they've signed with Scott Tolzien, with the restricted free agents, Don Barclay, Sean Richardson, Chris Banjo. You take all these, the Packers still very much, you know, underneath the salary cap right now. You know, they plenty of room to sign Tremont Williams for sure. You know, still room to go out and pursue perhaps other free agents on the market. I was kind of surprised that to hear that Terrence Knighton signed a 1 year, $4 million deal yesterday. I was all about kind of getting involved in the Terrence Knighton sweepstakes just because I think he's a very good run stuffer and the Packers could certainly use one of those. Not that I'm against bringing back BJ Raji, but I just do think that Terrence Knighton has, you know, stayed relatively healthy. He's been a good run stuffer. He's, you know, flashed some good things over the years. I'm still reminded of his, you know, thinking back to what he did in the AFC Championship game 2 years ago when he sacked Tom Brady and how good he looked that game. Looked like he could be, you know, both kind of a pass rusher and a run stuffer. And, you know, I don't think you're going to get consistent pass rush out of a guy like Pot Roast. But still, I do think, though, that, you know, one reason that teams, the Packers in particular, but other teams in the NFL weren't interested, I do believe he would have counted in the compensatory draft pick formula, whereby if you go and sign a guy like Pot Roast, it basically would cancel out the draft pick compensation the Packers are going to get for losing Devon House. So, you know, the Packers probably going to get a fourth round, maybe a fifth rounder for Devon House. That basically goes out the window if you sign a guy like Terrence Knighton. So that's maybe why they don't get involved there. And not just Terrence Knighton. I mean, many free agents. That's why you don't get involved. It just, there's a draft chip pick out the window that you won't get if you go sign guys like that. But I'm kind of getting off the point here. Back to Tremont Williams. It's you know, don't really know what's happening, what the level of interest the Packers have, whether Tremont Williams is simply his demands are too high, whether the Packers are moving on from an aging cornerback now. I don't know, but it's going to be interesting to find out here, because the longer he's on the market, the less, you know, the offers are going to be, not just from the Packers, but anywhere. So we wait to find out what happens with Tremont Williams. But anyway, it's time for our
expert interview.
Eric Gelko of OptimumScouting.com. I talked to him on the phone. This is a pre-recorded interview, but placing this in a larger context here, maybe if the Packers lose Tremont Williams, and now you take into consideration that they've already lost Devon House, maybe cornerback is a bigger need for the Packers than maybe some perceived at the outset of free agency. I mean, once the Packers get their compensatory draft picks for this year, they're going to have 9 draft choices total, and yeah, maybe they'll trade some of them away. But still, over the course of 7 rounds of the draft, Packers are going to take a cornerback somewhere in the draft. We talk about a few options with Eric Gelko, talk about the recent pro day circuit, what happened in the recent past, and what's ahead here on Friday. So take a listen in, a little bit of NFL draft talk here this morning. Eric Gelko of OptimumScouting.com, listen in. Joining us now on the phone, we have Eric Gelko of Optimum Scouting joining us this morning to talk about some NFL draft prospects and recent pro day workouts that have been happening this week. Mr. Gelko, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Very good. We're glad to have you on the show. We had you on, I believe it was last year as well, to talk about some guys, and you gave such great insight. We're glad to have you back on. I want to start earlier this week. The Wisconsin Badgers held their pro day. I know general manager Ted Thompson of the Green Bay Packers was there in attendance, and I'm not sure how much interest the Packers have in a guy like Melvin Gordon. But I want to know, is it possible at least that he could last to the 30th pick in the draft?
I think it's certainly possible, and it's easy enough to say, you know, look at recent running backs and where they've gone in the draft. And I think that's kind of the easiest way to say he could fall there. I think in this class, though, a lot of teams in late first round could certainly look at running back. The Arizona Cardinals come to mind. Even the Detroit Lions in the division could consider running back as well. So I think a lot of teams, maybe that he might play in the next couple of months when the season starts, maybe why he's interested in checking Melvin Gordon out, but there's certainly a chance he could fall even out of the first round. For us at Optimum Scouting, really after Todd Gurley, we don't feel Gordon is a lock to be a first-round grade for most teams. He's definitely one of the better running backs in recent history, but the way the position has kind of changed a lot in the NFL, it's been devalued a bit, and teams are confident they can get 2 or 3 guys later on as opposed to getting one guy at the top. That's kind of why I think Gordon really has a chance to fall out of the first round. But I think when it's all said and done, some teams, whether it's the Dallas Cowboys, whether it's the Arizona Cardinals or teams alike, I think at least 2 teams will look at running back in the first round. I think probably both those guys end up going there.
Also on Wednesday, same exact day, the Wisconsin Badgers held their pro day. So did the Oklahoma Sooners. I'm kind of interested just from the fact that the Packers hired Oklahoma's defensive coordinator, Jerry Montgomery, and there's kind of a tie-in here to several of the players he coached there in Oklahoma. Could you kind of just give me some thumbnail profiles on some of their guys who went to the NFL Combine? Defensive lineman Jordan Phillips, linebacker Janeo Grissom, and cornerback Julian Wilson. You don't have to go into detail, but just tell me a little bit about these guys.
Yeah, Phillips is probably the best of those guys, certainly the best of those guys in our opinion. He's a guy who can play nose tackle, be that 0 technique or 1 technique in a 3-4 defense. Probably could play as a 5-pick on the outside. He's a guy who's fantastic and kind of causing disruption, making and forcing double teams. So when he does get that chance, which is so important to me in front of evaluators, finishing tackles in the backfield. As a nose tackle, you don't get those opportunities too often, but when you're there, if you can make those plays, that kind of takes that extra step up. The defense, their offense always have to account for a nose tackle that can finish the backfield in one-on-one situations. So big fan of Jordan Phillips. I think he goes someplace probably in the top 25 picks. Geo Grissom's a guy who's going to be more of an outside linebacker on a 3-4 defense. Not a great pass rusher. Didn't test as well as the combine as maybe people were hoping because he does have great length on the outside. But I think length alone, and what he's in Oklahoma, is going to be enough to say, you know what, he can get by on length and be a run defender on the outside. Maybe add some pass rush versatility if he plays, you know, as a wider pass rusher on passing down. But for the most part, I think 4-3 defense is looking at him as a Sam linebacker, or 3-4 defense is looking at him as kind of a reliable, long, outside run defender. Should have value for one of the mid-rounds. And Julian Wilson, you know, tall, lankier corner, a guy who has a lot of athletic upside and can really turn a run very, very well. But the question is, can he play physical enough to kind of match that size? you know, teams in recent draft history kind of fall on the Seahawks line of getting big physical corners who kind of press the line of scrimmage and turn and run. I think Wilson has that turn and run part down, but we'll see if teams can trust him developing as more of a press or more physical off quarterback in this class upcoming.
Turning to the pro days that took place on Thursday, I kind of asked you before about Melvin Gordon, whether he dropped to number 30 overall in the first round. Over at Miami of Ohio, cornerback Quentin Rollins, I kind of want to know the opposite. Can he sneak into the end of the first round at all possible?
Yeah, he certainly could. And usually in draft history, in last year's kind of misnomer, but most years, that 25 to about 45 is usually dominated by a lot of defensive backs, mainly because now it really starts right there. After those first-round grades for most teams kind of diminish, teams want to go after secondary players because they can have so much value, and you start for them at all times. So I think certainly corners are going to be probably a run on corners in the late first round because this class has some depth in that area early on, and Quentin Rollins certainly part of that. I think it's going to be fun to see where he and Marcus Peters go because both those guys have great athletic upside. Peters from Washington has some character concerns to deal with as well as needing to develop himself a little bit, as well as Rollins, for a basketball player who really did fantastic at Miami, Ohio this year in his 1 year playing football and tested well as well. So I think he certainly could be in the first-round mix in that late first-round area. I think the team can feel confident that he's not far behind football IQ-wise, which really showed he wasn't in Miami, Ohio this year. He's not as much of a project as you would expect from a kind of one-year football player. I think he has a real chance to go in the late first-round and be probably a good fit with the Packers defense.
We're talking to Eric Gelko of Optimum Scouting here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Another pro day on Thursday at Washington State. I'm kind of curious about a guy named Xavier Cooper, an underclassman entry. I know just being an underclassman, I haven't watched him a whole lot. And, you know, just Washington State kind of being a program that's not really, you know, hasn't been winning double-digit games a year or anything. Yeah. Just a little more under the radar. Tell me about him.
Yeah, he was a surprise declaree. I think as far as the Packers look to be concerned, I think he could fit as a five technique, especially as a situational guy who could be a pass rusher. He very quick feet, very can get himself narrow and get upfield quickly in pass rushing situations. He can kind of play on the inside and, you know, play D-tackle in college and some DN, but mostly more of a pass rushing D-tackle. So I think playing with that five technique spot and allowing him to kind of do some different things as a pass rusher, I guess especially on third down, you get a wide nine guy outside of him and kind of him do his thing in one-on-one situations. And I think he can take advantage of that. So nothing right now, I'm saying, as a long-term starter. But I think overall he could be a key pass rusher in a 3-4 defense, the 5 technique. That's where I think his best fit is, and that's where probably the Packers would consider him if they do take him, probably in somewhere between the third and fifth round.
Upcoming here on Friday, the pro days scheduled include the national champion, Ohio State Buckeyes. I know defensive lineman Michael Bennett is kind of one of the more highly rated prospects. How versatile can Michael Bennett be? I want to know. I think most people think he's more of a 4-3, 3-tech kind of guy, but can he play on a 3-4 line?
Yeah, I think he can play really both D-tackle spots and both defenses. I think in a game he can play as a 1 technique, although that's not really where his value is. I think he plays a 5 technique, and he has that versatility. I think most 3-4 teams have some 4-3 concepts and vice versa. So I think in terms of being a narrow fit, he's not that. I think the versatility really helps him in terms of having most teams being open to having him. But I think for Michael Bennett, he's a versatile guy. That's from the biggest thing on his record resume, because he's not a devastating pass rusher. Doesn't really consistently win with speed or power on the outside, but he's a guy who consistently gets pressure and wins that first two steps up front and can really make plays off of that. So he doesn't really finish or produce as well as you'd like and won't be a key pass rusher on third down situations. He's efficient in the run game, finishes tackles, gets to the backfield. It really causes minor disruptions consistently in his game. So in that versatility, he's played 4-3 defensive end. He's played 3-4-0 tackle in the Ohio State scheme. I think he can do all those things. So I think for a team looking for really a versatile guy, they can kind of plug and play anywhere. And with free agency and injuries coming along, having a guy who can play all those spots is of huge value. That's why I think Michael Bennett is kind of a safe second-round pick. He's a really safe prospect, and teams can feel comfortable that no matter what their scheme is, he can have a role and be a depth guy and probably a situational starter in most roles.
Finally here, Eric, out on the West Coast, Oregon State's got their pro day coming up as well. Cornerback Steven Nelson. I know he wore number 2 in college as kind of an homage to former Packers cornerback Charles Woodson. He said as much. Do you see any Charles Woodson in him?
I wouldn't say he's a first-round cornerback, if that's what you're getting at, but I think what Nelson really adds, that he's such a physical guy and such a tackle-finishing guy that you got to really, really respect a cornerback like that. And I think if a team wants to play a cover 2 or really play an off-man coverage where he has some safety all over the top, Nelson can be a very good, probably starting NFL quarterback. The question is, will he fall in that role? If he is a guy, as a press quarterback, he could be sufficient. Doesn't have great length, but if he's willing to play physical there, did a great job against Jalen Strong this year against Arizona State, so we can handle those bigger receivers as well. And a guy, if he can keep plays in front of him and have that kind of safety help over the top, he could take some chances in the press game, be physical in the short area, and run defense. He's a fantastic tackler and a violent tackler as well. So I think he'll have some value for teams. Most teams will want to play a lot of cover two or a lot of off man where they can have some safety help over the top. That's his best bet. So I wouldn't say Charles Woodson, but there's certainly a chance, as maybe as high as a second-round pick, more likely than not a third- or fourth-round pick, could end up being a starter sooner rather than later in the right system.
Very cool. Thanks a lot, Eric. Do you have kids at home? I hear the calliope in the background.
No, I apologize. No kids at home for me. But I get some music playing for my draft focus here. Now it's draft season.
Very good. Very good. Fair enough. Thanks a lot for your insight. We appreciate it a lot. You do great work at Optimum Scouting, and we'll try to send as many people your way as possible.
Appreciate it. Thanks again.
All right. Take care. Eric Gelko of Optimum Scouting joining us here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Thanks to Eric Gelko for joining us. You can follow him on Twitter. Same handle here. I've been thrown out. Just Optimum Scouting. No space in between. Give him a follow. He provides some great insight, better insight at the website. Go check it out, OptimumScouting.com, part of the BlogWin Network. One of the better, draft bloggers out there, draft analysts. I love what Eric Gelko does, and glad to get his insight, especially, I thought, on a few cornerbacks here that have had pro day yesterday in Quentin Rollins of Miami, Ohio, and the pro day today for Steven Nelson of Oregon State. We'll see if the Packers are out there watching him, although Steven Nelson, I got to say, he's like 5'10", and usually the Packers stay away from those shorter cornerbacks, like under 5'11". Not to say that's a hard and fast rule. They've got Chris Banjo on the roster, a defensive back who's like 5'10". So the good thing is, though, as Gelko mentioned, Steven Nelson is very aggressive. And I think sometimes that aggressiveness, if you're going to get up in somebody's face at the line of scrimmage and be a press corner, that can a lot of times make up for what is a little bit, lack of length for a guy like him. So, obviously I don't think the Packers would ever spend a first round pick on a guy who's like maybe 5'10 as a cornerback. But all of a sudden, you start getting into those value areas like the end of the second round, even the third round. That's when you take a guy like that and could end up being very good. Still not ideal length, but, a guy who could be very good, a guy like Steven Nelson and Quentin Rollins. Now, he is perhaps maybe a first-round material. It's a little bit of a push, I think, at the end of the first round, considering his inexperience in football, the former basketball player. But an interesting guy nonetheless. So be interesting to see how much Packers value the cornerback position. I've said before, if all of a sudden they lose House, they lose Williams. And even if they weren't to lose Williams, boy, if a guy like Trey Waynes of Michigan State, if he were somehow to drop to the end of the first round, and I don't expect him to, get that out of the way right away. But, just every year there's that one guy who ends up falling in the draft that you never expect, like Aaron Rodgers did. And there's a chance it could happen. It could be Trey Waynes. I don't expect it, but who knows? It'd be almost a lock. The Packers could draft a guy like him if he were to drop that far. Another guy, I think, not a cornerback, but the two guys, two defenders that really stick out to me, inside linebacker is such a position of need. It's like you think the Packers are going to like almost address that like by default. But there's two guys I really, really like. One, Trey Waynes, and the other, Danny Shelton of Washington. If those guys were to somehow drop, boy, oh boy. I mean, those would be like the ideal picks for the Packers, I think, in their defense that, I think maybe have a shot of dropping, perhaps, like I think Leonard Williams of USC would be fantastic, but I'm almost resigned to the fact like there's no way he's dropping when maybe there's a remote chance these other guys could. Trey Waynes, Danny Shelton. I don't feel good about it by any means, but kind of more of the Packer fan than me just wishing that more than anything. But regardless here, good to get some insight on some cornerbacks and NFL draft prospects as a whole here from Eric Galco. And now it's time for
the day ahead.
In addition to the pro day workouts we just talked about, some of the bigger ones on Friday here, Ohio State, Oregon State, West Virginia. I know wide receiver Kevin White will be on display today. I listed all of them that are taking place today, or at least the ones I know of, at this morning's Packers calendar blog post at Cheesehead TV. If you're interested, you could go check that out. But more importantly, I thought one of the more interesting things happening this Friday, in fact, over the course of the whole weekend, wide receiver Jordy Nelson, Packers wide receiver Jordy Nelson, is going to be in attendance starting today at the NFLPA's annual meeting way out in Hawaii. So nice little winter vacation for Jordy Nelson here to get out of the cold Midwest, whether he's back in Wisconsin or was back at his native Kansas, wherever he was, to get to Hawaii for a few days, which will be nice. But the bigger point is the NFLPA, the Players Association, the Players Union, is going to be voting on a new executive director. Maybe not necessarily new. It's possible that the incumbent executive director, DeMaurice Smith, could be reelected. But very interesting that he has 8 challengers to his seat. A lot of people kind of not necessarily all on board with D. Smith, for short, and the job he's done. I think a lot of people feel a lot of concessions were made on the part of the players to the owners in the NFL's last collective bargaining agreement, in which the players got the raw end of the deal. I think to an extent that's a little bit exaggerated. I don't know if it's really as bad as people make it seem. I suppose maybe there were a few concessions made. I don't know how egregious they were in terms of the last CBA. But anyway, Jordy Nelson, as the Packers union representative, team representative, he'll be taking part in the balloting to elect a new executive director for the NFLPA over the weekend. I guess the vote itself doesn't take place till Sunday, but the annual meeting, in which other things are talked about and discussed, gets underway today and Friday in Hawaii. And apparently, according to Mike Florio of ProFootball.com, defensive back Micah Hyde and punter Tim Mastey, the team's alternate representatives, will also be flown out to Hawaii as well. So there's your Packers connection over the weekend here, and we'll learn on Sunday who the new executive director is, if there is a new one at all. So we'll talk about that on Monday's episode of Railbird Central. Have a good weekend, folks. Glad you could join us here on a Friday morning to talk some Packers football, talk free agency, talk the NFL draft. We'll be back again on Monday, as usual, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition of the show, podcasted later in the day. I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later, folks. My call to action, if you have not already, please give us a rating on iTunes. I know there's people out there right now who just ignore this directive. We have free content here at Cheesehead TV. No subscriptions, no paywalls. The one tiny thing I ask, go give us a rating on iTunes. Helps us get the word out about the show and gets us an even greater listenership and makes the show better. So we'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called The Surf by Lotus on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.